In the span of just 26 minutes Friday afternoon, the Dolphins traded the number 3 overall pick in this upcoming draft to the 49ers, netting 2 first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. Then the Eagles traded the 6th pick over to the Dolphins, with Philly settling in at the 12th overall pick. Woo, it was wild. And by the way, it's only just beginning, as we are now officially a month away exactly to the draft. The rush on quarterbacks has already begun, as we welcome you to NFL Live today. A little bit later on, we'll tell you why Mac Jones might actually be a great fit for the 49ers schematically. So stay tuned for that. Dan Orlovsky is here. We've got Jeff Darlington and Mina Kimes. And let's dive right into it. Jeff, what do you think about the deals and the direction that the Dolphins are going?
Well, Laura, when you look at the Miami Dolphins, you knew going into this that they were willing to trade that 3rd overall pick. And what I had been told is that they were looking toward the future. They weren't afraid of the idea of adding first round picks in future years. Part of this is about giving Tua time to develop, putting some weapons around him, but also getting the ammunition needed. Say Tua doesn't work out in future years, you can still get to the top of the draft when you need to replace him. But for right now, it's about building around Tua.
Yeah, I like what Philly did. I look at this 3 ways. With all the picks that they got Friday, 1, you build around Jalen Hurts and see what he is this season if he's a good player. 2, if he struggles, you package those potential 4 first-round picks over the next 2 seasons and go get a Russell Wilson or maybe Deshaun Watson. Or 3, if Jalen struggles and that price is too rich, you move up in next year's draft and go find your quarterback.
So San Francisco is not the first team to trade this many first-round picks for a quarterback in the draft. They are the first team, however, hypothetically, to trade that many for the 3rd quarterback taken off the board. We know it's very likely 1 and 2 are going to be QBs, and to me, that speaks to the quality of passers available in this draft, because San Francisco is willing to give that much up.
Yeah, this will likely be the 6th time in the last 15 seasons a team has traded up to select a quarterback in the first 3 overall picks. If the Jets move on from Sam Darnold, none of these QBs will have lasted more than 5 seasons with the team that drafted them. It's wild to think about. This is the highest pick the 49ers have ever traded up to get in the common draft era. And the 49ers spoke moments ago, explained why they had to make a move. Here's Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
So, yeah, you got to take risks. And this is a risk we were willing to take. We looked at how our 4 years have gone. We looked at how we want the next 4 years to go. And we looked where we're at in the draft and the options that are there. And that's why sitting there looking at this stuff since January and going all the way through the process, we felt pretty strongly we were going to get left at the altar sitting there at 12.
We went to ownership, said, hey, you know, things are looking good. We'd like to make this move, but you know, we also don't want to say goodbye to Jimmy. We think Jimmy, he's shown we can get to a Super Bowl with him. We can play at a high level. And we don't think those two things have to be mutually exclusive. And so the opportunity to trade up and possibly get a guy that can be a big part of our future and keep Jimmy, who we're very high on, and is, you know, I think some positive things are happening this offseason for. You know, that's kind of the plan we arrived at. And we're very excited. It was, you know, a stated goal that we needed to come out with the quarterback position being stronger this year. And I think we've put ourselves in a opportunity to make that happen with this move.
All right, so we'll get back to the Jimmy G piece and all this. As I mentioned, this press conference going on just moments ago, another thing that was said, Kyle Shanahan said the Niners feel comfortable with 3 quarterbacks in this draft leading into it. So when you hear that, when you hear what's said about Jimmy G, Dan, your reaction?
Listen, I think that this move was made for Mac Jones. I also think that there's some people in that building that are very much so intrigued by Trey Lance, the kid out of North Dakota State, the talent that he has. And that's where Jimmy G would come into play, because if they draft Mac Jones, Jimmy G is gone, because you are getting a younger and probably similar player for a long period of time. But if you draft Trey Lance, then you likely keep Jimmy G. But make no mistake about this, like, they needed to upgrade at this position, both with availability and with performance. Jimmy Garoppolo has missed 23 starts over the last 3 years. That is way too much for an organization to be dependent on. And he's also thrown the 3rd most interceptions over the last 3 years when it comes to percentage-wise in the NFL. So they looked at this as the opportunity upgrade, both with availability and the performance at the position. I actually agree with it.
All right, so you're saying, just for anybody that might have missed it, that they did this to get Mac Jones, which is fascinating, because Mina on the show on Friday said that would be like going from Jimmy G to Jimmy H. So, Mina, these moves that the 49ers have made, and to get up to 3, is it a good move for them?
Yes, it's a bold move. I like it. I understand why they did it. In some ways, I see this by the trade from San Francisco as a response to what the Rams did. And there are a lot of similarities, right? You've got two of the best offensive play callers, brilliant young minds in the NFL, in Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. We have seen over the last few years, they can take any quarterback, put them in their schemes, and make them look good. But the Rams got tired of good, and that's why they were willing to trade away a haul and absorb a lot of dead money to move on from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, because they wanted to be great. San Francisco, same thing, tired of good. They wanted a higher ceiling. They wanted to approach greatness. And we'll talk later in the show about what greatness looks like, what that quarterback might be. But the reality is, Laura, they might like Jimmy G, but if they loved him, they wouldn't have done this.
Well, meaning you make a very good point here. But what's also interesting about this, you heard Kyle Shanahan say pretty transparently, we were afraid of getting left at the altar at number 12. And if you do project to the future, you think about what the 49ers gave up with those first round picks in the future, the 49ers are a confident bunch. They're sitting here saying, we're not going to be in a position where we're picking 12th in the first round in future years. Yeah. This is our best shot to get as high into the top of the draft to get that quarterback than any year we expect to see in the future. So from that standpoint, I understand why Kyle is saying we're taking a risk, not as a desperate team, but instead as a team on the rise, looking at that quarterback position and prioritizing
it. Yeah, and Jeff, I also think it's important to point out the difference between Kyle Shanahan, say a Sean McVay, or even a Kevin Stefanski, because they all come from the same tree. Kyle Shanahan is a play-action passing play caller. There's a difference between play-action and bootleg. He calls more play-action than anybody in the NFL, and that means like you're inside the tackle. Why does that fit with a guy like Mac Jones? Because one, field vision has to be great. Two, you've got to have fantastic in-the-pocket movement. Three, you've got to have the snap release. And four, you've got to listen to your feet. We're going to dive into that at the end of the show. And that's a big deal because everyone continues to talk, well, athletically, does he fit it? Well, athletically, he doesn't need to because they're not calling as many bootlegs getting him outside the pocket. That's when you need the athleticism as a runner. That's when you need the more powerful arm. Kyle also calls play action for chunks, 15, 20, 25-yard throws. Not the 45, 50-yard bombs downfield that Sean McVay does. That's a big difference. There is a massive difference. Look at this. This is play action within the pocket that they are trying to get. Chunk throws, deep ends, big-time crossers, hard ball play action, ball out on time, where other offenses are more dependent on moving the quarterback outside of the pocket, throwing the ball 50 yards downfield. That's not what Kyle Shanahan does.
Mina,
you're totally right, Dan, but I think the question here, it's sort of a chicken or egg thing. Is that the offense Shanahan's called because those are the quarterbacks who have been available to him, whether it's a Kirk Cousins or a Matt Ryan or a Schaub or a Jimmy Garoppolo, or if he had a more athletic quarterback at his disposal? I mean, you can read his comments about Josh Allen when he tore them up last year. He's seen his defenses get shredded by the likes of Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. Would his offense evolve in response? Like, you know what? You understand what I'm saying? I totally agree with you about the play action and the nature of the offense, but I also think it's a reflection of the quarterbacks he was working with.
The only thing that I have a feeling with the athletic quarterback when it comes to Kyle is, was he scarred from the RG3 experience with his father, right? He saw the mobile quarterback. He took the league by storm. They used him as a runner, and then the injuries derailed his career. And I've always thought, like, that going to get him to be hesitant to utilize a more mobile and athletic quarterback in the quarterback run game?
Yep. Jimmy Garoppolo's missed a bunch of games, and he's not a mobile quarterback.
Like, no, that's a fair point.
You know, you can't count on health either way. I think we've seen that in the NFL. I mean, and the Mac Jones, Trey Lance debate, it cuts straight to the heart of this because you are fundamentally making a statement about what you think matters, what you think you can, like, optimizes your offense in 2021, and that's what makes it such a fascinating debate.
It is fascinating because at number three, you've got to think about who's going to be there. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. I mean, it is wild to think about what could happen at this three spot. Like I said, to start the show, the draft interest is only just beginning.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're exactly 1 month away from the 2021 NFL Draft, with the first round starting at 8 Eastern on April 29th. Of course, coverage on ESPN and ABC, also our friends at NFL Network. And Field Yates sent out some great reminders as we close in on the draft. The Seahawks, sorry, Mina, have just 3 picks, the fewest in the league. That's wild. Only 3 picks in the whole draft. While the Eagles enter with the most picks, they've got 11. The Jags, Jets, and Dolphins hold on to multiple first-round picks, while Seahawks and Rams will have to wait till day two to actually even make a pick. All right, speaking of the Jags, head coach Urban Meyer claims Trevor Lawrence is the direction the Jags are headed with number one overall pick. But, Jeff, you've got some news, so let's start with Jacksonville and an update on Lawrence.
Well, just specifically to that NFL draft that you're talking about, Laura, Trevor Lawrence has decided that he will not attend the draft in person in Cleveland. So this will look at the top of the draft, at least a little like last year's draft, where we see instead Trevor Lawrence becoming potentially the number one pick from Clemson. He'll instead watch it with a few friends and family at Clemson. That Lawrence's decision for this upcoming draft. Now, we've got some other news this coming week. League meeting will take place, at which point we anticipate the owners voting on a 17-game season. No longer will it be 16 games. Not exactly unanimously popular with players, but something surely will be popular with fans. It's an extra week of football, anticipating a Week 18 doubleheader. The other good news potentially here, it looks like we're going to have fewer preseason games, maybe 3 preseason games. Instead of 4. Good news, if you're me anyway.
Yeah, look what Alvin Kamara said, though, Jeff. He said, Colin, it's dumb, this whole thing. Packers safety Adrian Amos responded to Shefty's tweet saying,
concise.
We really let this happen. Cam Jordan added, we all knew it was coming. Later adding, the new CBA ensured a 17th game. We ain't going to be thrilled about it. So, safe to say, the players don't like it. Anyway, let's talk New York football Giants. They added some pieces in free agency, signing wide receiver Kenny Golladay, tight end Kyle Rudolph, a couple weapons for Daniel Jones. And listen, in the NFC East, anything can happen, right? Well, maybe. Giants president and CEO John Mara seems to think so, though. He spoke to the New York Post about the team's future with Daniel Jones under center. He said, quote, I think our roster is good enough to make the playoffs. Every single one of our coaches loves the kid and believes he has the talent to win a championship. He really wants to be great. You can see that. I believe the sky's the limit with him. Dan, I'm looking at your face. Do you agree with Mara that Daniel Jones is still the answer?
I didn't agree with him when they took him with the 6th pick of the draft.
It's true.
I don't expect him to say anything else. It would have been great if he was like, no, I think he stinks, but we're going to continue to keep him on our football team. Here's where I am with the Giants post-free agency. Are you looking for progress or are you looking for a jump? Because you can expect progress from Daniel Jones, and that is fair. But to expect some third-year jump that we just saw Josh Allen take is completely unfair. Because while you've added Kenny Golladay and you've added Rudy and you've hopefully getting Saquon Barkley back healthy, you still have the same offensive line that was one of the worst in the NFL last year. And this is why I did not like Daniel Jones at the 6th pick 2 years ago, because he is not a talent that is able to make up for the deficiencies of the roster. So now they're placing expectations on a player when you haven't supported him properly to go reach those expectations. And that's on the organization. And that's why I have an issue with, well, Daniel Jones, there's so much pressure on him, or it's a make or break year. No, it's not. Build an offensive line that actually allows you to evaluate him so you don't just after 3 years go, well, he's just not good enough and we've got to start over.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Josh Allen,
Dan, because I think he's going to be held as this gold standard of improvement when what he did from year 2 to 3 was historically unprecedented. And Jones, you know, in some ways has looked better in the NFL than I thought he would as a prospect. The accuracy he's shown, the athleticism. But I just can't get over the fact that in just 2 years, he's fumbled 29 times. That puts him in really bad company historically. You know, this is on a per game basis, so it's the second most in NFL history since 1994. Now, you'll see Josh Allen at the bottom there, but as you alluded to, Josh Allen has, he's always had the physical tools to overcome or to, you know, get past some of the challenges he faced early on. Jones, as you mentioned, he does not have a good offensive line. They did a lot to invest in his skill players. I actually think he has a really nice group of skill players. Yep. But it's not like he has the second worst offensive line in NFL history. That's on him. Yes, they didn't help him with protection, but those are also traits that he has to overcome or show some progress in. And through 2 seasons, he simply has not. Now, I'm not saying, you know, they're not going to turn it around. Daniel Jones is never going to improve. I mean, heck, they got that ship out of the Suez Canal in 5 days. You can turn anything around. But the notion that suddenly this is a Super Bowl team and he's going to lead them to the playoffs, I just don't think we have enough evidence to support that so far.
Mina, I think you're so right.
I've been thinking about that boat a lot.
I know, it's a lot there. I think you're right, though, that everyone is going to try to make the correlation to Josh Allen. I think one of the biggest differences there is that Daniel Jones doesn't have Brian Daboll, who Josh Allen would say himself, Brian Daboll, was such a huge reason why he was able to make that jump, his offensive coordinator there with Buffalo. And then when we saw how sought after Daboll was when it came time to hire coaches this offseason, that made a lot of sense. All right, we're going to leave that there. More developments now in the story involving Deshaun Watson and the allegations against him. 3 more lawsuits have been filed accusing Watson of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior, including one that alleges the Texans quarterback is deleting Instagram messages and is contacting women in an attempt to settle the cases. Watson's lawyer says, however, that Watson hasn't deleted any Instagram messages since March 15th and denies that Watson has reached out to any of the women. There are now 19 lawsuits against Watson. All of them allege a disturbing pattern of behavior during massage sessions. Watson has denied any wrongdoing. BYU quarterback Zach Wilson always gets saddled with the comparison to Patrick Mahomes, good and bad, right? And when you make throws like that, it makes sense. That'll make you do a double take. Of course, he had his pro day Friday right around the time that Adam Schefter broke the news of a blockbuster trade that changed the NFL draft order big time. Could also have affected Wilson. We'll see about that. And plenty of signs still pointing to the Jets taking Wilson at that number 2 pick. And listen, if you like people throwing a football against zero defenses, that pro day was pretty, okay? But what did you see from Zach Wilson's pro day, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, pro days are stupid.
Oh, no.
That being said, the throw that kind of blew up the internet, that was a sick throw. That was a sick throw. I was with Matthew Stafford for 3 years, and it's one of the best throws I've seen, at least in that environment. That being said, that throw, that talent is not going to fix the Jets. It is not going to make you the dumpster fire that you are right now. It's not going to change you. Here's the reality. For Zach Wilson, his talent off the field needs to be as good as the talent on the field. Because Lamar Jackson has vaulted Baltimore ahead because he's got a competitive fire. And Josh Allen has vaulted Buffalo ahead because he's beloved by his teammates. Baker Mayfield has taken Cleveland to new heights because he's got his moxie. Patrick Mahomes has taken the Chiefs to a different area because he's got that alpha leadership. For the Jets to get fixed, it's got to be more than talent. Because here's a newsflash. They got a guy on their roster that's made that throw, that can make that throw. And so for him to flip that organization, it's got to be about the stuff that you just can't watch at a pro day.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, Dan, the last time I was at a pro day, it was in March of 2018. And there was this guy out there in Los Angeles throwing dimes in the downpour rain. And guess what his name was? Sam Darnold.
Thank you.
You look at the headlines from that pro day, and it was Sam Darnold shines. Sam Darnold dazzles. And by the way, I'm not trying to take anything away from the highlight that we saw that day or the other day. It's not like we're trying to hate on it. It's just saying you can't just treat that in a vacuum. You have to apply the entire body of work when you're making these evaluations. DeShone Kizer, by the way, best pro day I've ever been to. That guy looked like unbelievable. He looked like the next Peyton Manning out there. And then we know what happened. So you can't take too much away from these pro days.
I just want to say the last time I went to a pro day, it was also 2018. It was Lamar Jackson. He did not run the 40. He fell in the draft. And guess what? All you had to do was watch the tape. And you saw that he was an unworldly talent. So reminder to everyone, tape matters so much more than anything else you're going to see at a pro day. All right, just had to get that in.
Right, and one thing I would add, too, just as we're talking about this, I mean, it also matters who you're surrounded with at the NFL level. If you look at what Sam Darnold's been surrounded with, who's coached him, what's been going on at the spot that he ended up, that has to matter, too, and I think it's important to point out. So let's stay on that, Mina. When you talk about what's going to happen with the Jets at that number two pick, and let's say they do draft a quarterback, whether it's Wilson or not, then people wonder, okay, well, what's going to happen to Sam Darnold? But you have put together a list of teams who should be calling the Jets about him. Let's talk about that now.
So I do think the Jets are going to draft a quarterback. I would be shocked at this point if they don't. I think it's going to be Zach Wilson. So the next question is, who might trade for Sam? His value is probably suppressed at this point. There's upside there. To me, three teams come to mind. The number one team that I think should consider this, should seriously look into it, is Chicago. Mm-hmm. Okay, Andy Dalton, obviously, not only is he not the long-term answer, with Sam, you can give your organization some hope, some upside. Hey, maybe we might find something in him, and it's not going to cost us very much. They don't have any other options where they're picking the draft. Then you've got Denver. Drew Locke, unfortunately, has not lived up to, he has not proven that he's a franchise quarterback or a starter. He also missed games last year. And then Pittsburgh, well, Ben Roethlisberger is nearing the end of the road. They don't have an answer for quarterback of the future. I know they have Haskins. Why not bring Darnold in as well and let him compete? To me, worth taking a flyer on for the Steelers as well.
I love those teams. I think Chicago makes so much sense because there's like this unknown upside for Sam Darnold. You never know out in Chicago. It might save your job. I absolutely love Denver because if Drew Locke struggles, like, we can move on. Pittsburgh, I'll throw another one out there, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, let's just imagine we get to draft night and you can go get Sam Darnold if you're Tampa for a third-round pick. It could make a ton of sense. He gets to sit. You don't have to force him on the field. And now he gets to walk into a significantly healthier situation and Tampa can kind of just keep the train rolling in another year or two.
I kind of like that. Jeff, you're really, you know Tom Brady well. You know all kinds of things about
him. Jeff doesn't like it.
How would he feel about Sam Darnold coming on there and maybe having to, like, I don't know that he'd have to bring him along, but you know what I mean, that quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, Tom doesn't bring guys along. I know that.
Right.
He just doesn't do that. He's nice about it. He just doesn't do it. But by the way, if you're coming back to the point, if you're going to give up, if you're just going to get a third round pick for Sam Darnold, I'm not trying to instigate another debate, but why wouldn't you just keep him? Why wouldn't you keep him as your potential backup if you needed at a really good cost and just decline his fifth year option? I just don't think if the value is a third round pick, that it's really worth sending him away when you could just have another good quarterback on your roster as your young guy comes up.
My only pushback is his value is not going to increase next year. If you're drafting the quarterback, you're going to play him.
Yeah.
The last thing I will say is this. When the Jets take Zach Wilson at number 2, and I think they're going to, he better be stinking great, okay? Because you're not just taking a second pick. You're taking a second pick at the same position that you just took a young quarterback at with the 3rd pick overall in the draft, and you're also passing on 3 or 4 more first-round picks to select him. You better be special.
Yeah, the Jets have drafted 10 quarterbacks in the last 15 seasons. If you were wondering, that's more than any other team. All right, we're talking about some pro days here, and even though Dan apparently doesn't like them, I do. Let's talk about Justin Fields, his pro day tomorrow. I think something that you'll see early on is his competitiveness. And I get it, it's a pro day, right? But this guy competes against himself. It's one of the reasons why he pushed himself to transfer, to find a new home for himself in college football in Ohio State. Yes, there's things about his game that are unfinished. I think he's going to look around at other pro days and say, I want mine to be better than that other quarterback that he knows might go ahead of him, Mina.
To me, I'll be looking for two of Justin Fields' best traits that he showed in big games, like against Clemson. His athleticism, we've seen how fast he runs the 40 informally, and then his accuracy to all levels of the field, short, intermediate, and deep. He puts the ball on the money. I think we're going to see that on display.
Our rankings today, and the defending Super Bowl champions are not on top. Interesting. That spot belongs to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, as you see there. Rounding out the top five, we've got the Packers, Bills, and Ravens. So let's get Jeff Darlington back in here. And Jeff, a lot of moves from some of those top teams on the power rankings. Let's start with Baltimore adding a wide receiver over the weekend.
Right, yeah, the most recent of the additions here, Sammy Watkins, to a team that badly needs an outside receiver. They feel like maybe they found him in Watkins. Ravens didn't overly love the wide receiver market this offseason, but they knew they had to add somebody. We'll see if Watkins can be the guy that gives them the burst that they need. Now, the Chiefs, meanwhile, making some big moves this offseason on the brink of free agency when they released Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, their right and left tackles. Now, two massive bodies for this team and blockers for Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs will have to find a way to replace them. Certainly something we should be paying close attention to in the draft. A major void for this Chiefs offense. No voids when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are returning all 22 starters from the Super Bowl. This is a team that went into free agency and was extremely aggressive with their own players. Tom Brady, of course, headlining that cast. But guys like Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, so on and so on, and Dominic and Sue, somehow Jason Light, the general manager, got it done, made magic happen, and got all 22 back.
Yeah, Jeff, it's almost shocking. It felt like, all right, maybe they'll get close to all 22 starters, but to actually get all 22 of them back, they really are trying to run it back. Now, as for their head coach, Bruce Arians, he had a little message for his players as they get ready to defend their title. Arians told Loose Cannons podcast, quote, when our guys come back, that's my job. I'm going to beat the bleep out of them. We're going back to basics, and we're going to have one hell of a training camp. Beat the bleep out of them. All right, so when you think about that, some strong words, Jeff, from Arians. Some disrespect to those Super Bowl champs, though, on the rankings that we just saw. What did you think?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just don't believe it. That's just not the Bruce Arians model. Like, literally, he just doesn't do that. He's known for ending practice at like 2:30 and sending his guys home. So we'll see. Maybe he saw something this past season that he felt like he needs to instigate maybe a little bit of a tougher mentality in training camp heading into the year. But he also has been known to take care of his veterans. So while he wants to beat the bleep out of them, I know they have a very young defense. Maybe he'll beat the bleep out of the young guys, while maybe letting the older guys watch him beat the bleep out of the young guys.
A lot of bleeps. A tongue twister. I can't believe you got through all that.
I wonder if I could take this message to my son's lacrosse practice tomorrow night.
Don't do that.
Listen, I think the Bucks are the favorite next year, okay? That's a lot for me to say. I think they're the favorite. I think they're going to be a better football team. 22 out of 22 back, and we documented last week how well they have drafted. That being said, the Chiefs are the darling of the NFL. They've got the biggest question marks out of those two football teams, but they also have the greatest question mark eraser in the NFL at Patrick Mahomes. Everyone's going to point to the tackles, rightfully so. There still are some free agents.
Brady.
Mitchell Schwartz, Russell Okung. I don't know who said anything, but Russell Okung.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's the second best question mark eraser in the NFL right now. I also look at the draft, and you could get Rashawn Slater, you can get Darisaw out of Virginia Tech, you can get Jenkins from Oklahoma State. So I'm interested to see what Kansas City. The really interesting thing for me is both these teams have really great general managers, really good head coaches, and very complete rosters. It's just that the Chiefs need to plug in and fix their kind of question marks where Tampa could just build upon theirs.
What question marks did Tom Brady have to erase? He played behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL with an incredible group of weapons. Maybe, Jeff, in roster construction, because he's clearly been invaluable in that regard. The fact that they were able to run it back, I do think, is a testament to his recruiting abilities. But for me, the Chiefs are... they're the favorites. Let's not overrate what we saw in a Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes is playing behind backups at almost every single position on the offensive line. They went out, Dan's described, you know, some of the additions they've made there with Tooney, Kyle Long, obviously Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. It's a great draft for tackles. But again, like the Chiefs, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback there, unless they are once again playing behind a complete group of backups, I will always pick Kansas City.
Jeff, I just want to give you the final
quickly
word. You were saying Tom Brady there.
Yeah, this is insane. The Bucs won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is still the quarterback. And by the way, from our stats, guys, 36% of Bucs defensive snaps last season were first or second year players. Second highest rate. This is a young defense led by the greatest of all time.
Jeff,
you're all wrong. The Bucs are number one entering this season.
I said they are, Jeff. I was agreeing with you.
Well, Jeff talking to Mina. But either way, like, the reality is, I think it was funny that Dan was like, this is crazy for me to go out on a limb and make a really strong statement. But I'm doing it anyway.
Back here on NFL Live, the Miami Hurricanes holding their pro day today. The U might be the first school with two D linemen selected in the first round of the draft since 2006. Dan, Gregory Rousseau sat out the 2020 season. What do you make of him as a prospect?
I don't want to play against him. I know that. I remember calling Greg Rousseau's game 2 years ago in 2019 and reading up on the athlete he was, that he was a high school wide receiver, that they moved into a defensive end role in Miami. He's a freak athlete. I think he ran 4.4 at their pro day today. He is going to be somebody that is going to wreak havoc on quarterbacks in the near future of the NFL.
Yeah, Rousseau's got those 11-inch hands, just like me. Jalen Phillips came in his absence and completely filled that hole for Miami, overcoming his injury history prior in college. Extremely explosive, really fun watch, very advanced arsenal of pass rush moves. To me, he's got an incredibly high ceiling. Again, the question is just 1 year, but boy, is that upside tantalizing.
Back to Rousseau quickly. People thought he'd run faster than he did today. The 49ers, by the way, made headlines on Friday, moving up from number 12 to number 3 in the next month's NFL draft. All signs point to San Fran taking a QB with that pick. Of course, it brings into question Jimmy G and his future with the team. Both Shanahan and GM John Lynch have said Jimmy G has a home in San Fran. Shanahan talked last hour about how this situation might actually motivate his quarterback.
I'm sure Jimmy was a little pissed off from it, just like I would be too. But me knowing Jimmy, he'll be fired up and come in and he'll work his butt off. And knowing Jimmy, the more mad Jimmy gets, usually the better he gets. So it's, you know, if Jimmy just gets madder and he stays healthy, I mean, this is going to be a good thing for Jimmy too, which could be a great problem for the 49ers.
So is Mad Jimmy G a thing? All right. Anyway, Mac Jones will work out at Alabama's second pro day tomorrow after San Francisco's big trade up in the draft. The question was, is Mac Jones headed to the Bay? Adam Schefter said don't rule it out. He already did his homework and was ready for the questions as he spoke to the media this afternoon. Here's Mac Jones.
Yeah, I've watched their tape and stuff. I've got a chance to watch a lot of, you know, everybody, but 49ers specifically. Obviously, they run a lot of wide zone. They also have a great fullback, so they can run power, and they do a bunch of good play pass off of that. So outside zone, sprint out stuff, that's all stuff that I'm really familiar with. And obviously it's a super quarterback-friendly offense, and they have great playmakers there. So I'm really looking forward to just learning more about that.
All right, then. This could be a perfect match. Mac Jones actually led all passers in college in yards and touchdowns off play action last season. His 96.6 QBR in play action dropbacks is the second highest mark over the last 10 seasons, trailing only Joe Burrow's 2019 season in that span, even better than Baker Mayfield's senior year. So, Mina, Mac, he's studying the 49ers. Does a Jones-Shanahan marriage make sense?
The marriage makes sense, but I'm not sure the Niners trading away that much to take Mac Jones there makes sense. And here's why, Laura. Look, I like him. Dan and I have spoken a bunch about why he makes sense in that offense. Frankly, every quarterback makes sense in a Kyle Shanahan offense, but Mac is accurate, quick decision maker, throws with anticipation over the middle of the field, does all of the things he just described. I get it. That said, and this is why I feel so cautious, or I have trepidation when I think about that haul, there has not been a great quarterback who's not mobile drafted in the NFL in like 10 years. I mean, good quarterback even. You got to go all the way back arguably to Derek Carr, maybe Kirk Cousins before then. Obviously, Jared Goff had a couple of good years, but a great quarterback? By my count, you got to go all the way back to Matt Stafford. Like, in recent history, the NFL has trended in the direction of quarterbacks who can move. That includes Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. And there's a reason why. It's because, yes, it's the most important trait a quarterback can have is accuracy. But defenses are so good now, you need that second reaction ability. And having a quarterback who can also make defenses count for another offensive player is just so valuable. So it would be a real risk, I think, to take a quarterback like him there and give up that much.
I think the reality also is, like, if you're trading all those picks to go up and get Mac Jones, it proves that you value a good, young, inexpensive quarterback over those first-round picks. Now, we've talked about Kyle Shanahan's offense a ton and what makes it different in the NFL. One of